Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. We're so glad that you're with us today on this beautiful, hot summer day in Omaha, Nebraska. And as usual, this is Kristen Cheetah, and I am sitting in the podcast studio with...
Drew,
that's right, and...
Nicole.
That was such a big buildup there.
Ta-da! Probably a letdown.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown. Drew. We have to come up with like fake titles like they have on JCLP.
Oh, gosh. That could get interesting.
That's true. Coming into work today was rather a struggle for me because earlier I was sitting at my pool with my journal and literally in my thankful journal, because I do the five things I'm thankful for every day in my journal, and every one of them was sun, summer, the pool, I'm so happy. Then number two was sun, summer, pool, I'm so happy. And that took all five of my... And it's not that I have a pool at my house. We sold our house and are living... We were renting a villa. And the place that we rent has a clubhouse and a pool. And it's literally like I'm at a resort. So while I was sitting there, a mother was with her three little kids. And she was spraying on suntan lotion, or the, you know, the spray stuff. And it wafted over my direction, and I was so happy because it had the smell of summer. And I kept smelling it because I was like, oh, this is so awesome. Jesus, you know what makes me happy. So there you go. That's what I'll be talking about for the next few months. Mm-hmm. So, Drew, we'll just jump to you, and I know neither of you share my love for the pool in the summer and all of that jazz. Tell us about... The garden update.
The only good thing that I like about warmer weather is that my plants are growing. But I don't like it too hot because then I have to water them a lot and it gets old. But
it gets old.
You need a bigger garden. Watering can. I will say that.
My garden is doing actually pretty well. I have a bunch of my seeds that I planted are all coming up.
Nice.
I have my cilantro coming up, and basil, yes, and lettuce, and I have my eggplant and
ooh,
cucumber.
Yum.
Strawberries, tomatoes.
What?
Oregano, parsley, two different types of parsley, chives.
So can you even walk
chives,
out on your balcony, or
green
is it
onions?
Oh my goodness!
Mint and
dude,
thyme.
Do you have rosemary?
Four different types of peppers.
Oh, what?
Yes.
You have like a sustainable lifestyle all by yourself.
I don't have rosemary yet,
or
but
just
I do
for
want
him,
to get
though.
Just for
him,
yeah, just for Drew. Not enough for anybody else.
No.
But Drew's going to have no problem if the grid goes out or whatever.
So, yeah, I actually picked my first batch of lettuce and Swiss chard the other day and had a little salad.
Okay, well, that sounds horrible, but the lettuce, Swiss chard?
It's just a type of lettuce.
Oh. It's like a nursery rhyme or something, and it sounds terrible in the nursery rhyme. So that's my relation to Swiss chard. Swiss chard and rutabaga. Do you not remember the nursery rhyme that's with that?
I've never heard that.
I don't have rutabaga either.
I don't know what that is, but... So what kind of lettuce do you have? Is it like bib lettuce?
It's called black-seeded Simpson.
It sounds awesome.
Which just means it's green and leafy.
Oh, yay!
It's
yes!
Not... It's not a head of lettuce. It's like
It's not like iceberg. Yeah, so I'm just so proud of you.
It's gonna be overgrown eventually.
No, it'll be overgrown. No,
there's not a lot of room.
I have enough room. And
okay.
To sit down. I have two little seats.
Okay. Awesome.
Sit out there. And eventually, I might just get rid of the one seat because I don't have three people over.
I don't need two seats. Jesus doesn't need a seat when he comes to sit with me on the balcony.
I have my little bird feeder out there.
Oh. And pretty soon, all the bees will be attracted.
Right.
And yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. Like, what's the, like, do you have tomatoes yet?
Three tomatoes. Plants.
Oh, plants. How long do tomatoes take?
I have three different types.
Oh, my.
One of them is an early bloom.
Okay, yes. Tomato. So you will be sustainable.
So those ones are supposed to be coming up. I already have a couple little buds.
I'm really impressed.
They're supposed to be coming up soon. They're about 3 feet tall.
And wait, while we're doing this, this is one of our fasting days.
Yeah, I'm so hungry right now.
We could probably talk actually about the garden.
Broccoli.
For hours.
You have broccoli?
Oh, my.
Yeah, really? 7 plants of broccoli.
Which one?
I want
big leafy green ones. They have developed floors.
I have two hanging baskets.
I have nothing. I have a whole other window.
Oh. I'm not sure what to put in that one yet.
Okay, so here's the deal. You've got to take some pictures so we can put them on the page. Because I'd like to see these in like stages. So now they're in the greening stage.
Yeah.
And then as they gain, that's right, they gain the fruit and then the harvesting stage.
Yeah.
And then a picture of just your plethora of veggies.
You need to have, like, food, like pictures.
Yeah,
then, one
yes,
of those.
A food picture.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
With your green peppers and
cooking a lot. So.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have garlic?
That's what you could put in the other window. Wow.
I haven't found many places.
The other window plant. I'm really excited about garlic.
I haven't found many places that are selling garlic.
Really?
No.
Huh. Maybe find it. Because that would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
What I'd really like is
fresh garlic.
Vines.
Would be awesome.
That's what I'd really like to grow.
Oh. Can you grow those here?
You can, but...
Do you have to come inside?
They have to come inside in the winter, and they probably wouldn't produce this year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a bummer. Boo. Yeah, we only want things that produce right now.
Yes. No delay.
I don't have 10 years' time to wait for fruits to come up, so...
Well, I'm excited. So, strawberries, did you get a plant, or did you do that from seed?
I got two strawberry plants, and then I got this new thing that is out on the market now. It's called hula berries.
What?
And it's a white strawberry.
Oh.
It's supposed to taste like pineapple. So, jury's still out on whether it actually tastes like pineapple.
Oh, all right. You'll let us know, though.
Yeah, there are some white ones coming up already. So
really? All right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, so all of our listeners, you stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll get the update. We'll get the update every time we do a podcast so we know where we are at in the vegetation state. Stage.
Yeah.
State.
No, we're not in a vegetative state.
State of vegetables. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, last podcast, we just kind of highlighted what we're going to be going into this month, prayer and missions. We looked at the first of the three frontiers, the linguistics. And so today we're going to talk more about the other two frontiers of missions, which is time and geographical location. So stay tuned and we will launch into that.
Continuing to talk about prayer and missions, we had broken it down, like Nicole had said, into the linguistic frontier, the geographic frontier, and the time frontier. And the last time we had talked a little bit more in detail about the linguistic frontier and how important it is for us to be praying for, as well as financially supporting, the linguistic efforts to translate the Bible into the over 2,000 languages that do not have the Bible in written form. And some of them don't even have it in oral form. So as we're talking today, we're going to talk a little bit about the time frontier and the geographic frontier. And so with the time frontier, a lot of times when we look at missions, the time frontier is something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about as missions. And what I mean by time is day and night.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about prayer and missions, mixing them together, mixing the prayer and missions together really comes forth in the time element. And so as we look at establishing day and night prayer, prayer that goes day and night, and then, of course, with the geographic frontier, then it also is in every region. And when we go back to the linguistic frontier, it's also in every language.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so this is really the end result of missions, is to have day and night prayer in every geographic location,
mm-hmm.
as well as in every language and in tongue. And so that might not necessarily mean every city,
mm-hmm.
But every geographic region
yeah.
that we're a part of. And so the time frontier, though, I wanted to talk a little bit more in detail because it's one that is often misunderstood as being something that's separate from missions, that day and night prayer isn't really missions. And I'd like to present the argument that, like we did as well, that obviously prayer and missions are together, and because of that, because prayer and missions are one in the Lord's heart, that the time frontier is one that we have to focus on. We have to look at day and night prayer as something that is important and something that is necessary for a number of reasons. So we look at a couple of passages in Scripture, and for instance, the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, and the time frontier of her continuously coming back day and night before the unjust judge, and he granted her justice because she continued coming back. So there's a justice element that is released from day and night prayer that is necessary for us to see even other aspects of missions be more fruitful. So when day and night prayer is established, justice comes forth much more easily than it does without that element. As well as the people who are serving in day and night prayer are often, many of them, live lives as missionaries. So in the house of prayer, we call it intercessory missionaries, and just means that we do intercession with the lifestyle of a missionary, or we do missions with the lifestyle of day and night prayer. And so a lot of the, even going back to the biblical times and biblical terms, the Levites and the line of Aaron and the priesthood, and even some full-time workers in the New Testament, all served in a day and night capacity in the temple or in the tabernacle of David, or in serving the local bodies that they had. And that would be similar to the time frontier, but they lived lives as missionaries. So the Levites and the priests were important not only in Jerusalem, but as well as the other altars and shrines of places of worship that they had scattered throughout Israel. Certainly Jerusalem was the most important and was the most central location. And in Jerusalem, many had to travel and leave their homelands in order to serve there, and they did it in a day and night capacity where they were supported by the rest of Israel and by the Israeli government, or the Israelite government at that point. And in the New Testament, we see other examples of this with Anna in Luke 2, and Simeon, and those who served for decades on a day and night fashion in the temple in prayer and fasting. And so the day and night portion of prayer and of missions is really important. It actually establishes the capacity for the rest of missions to be more fruitful, but then those people who serve actually become missionaries themselves. They live lifestyles of missionary, and they actually get more involved in evangelism than they would if they weren't serving in that capacity. For instance, Anna, in Luke 2, was the first evangelist when she saw Jesus. Then she told everyone in the temple that this child that she had seen was really the Son of God. And so she proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who had not had that revelation yet. So the day and night portion is really significant. So when we talk about the time frontier, a lot of people get excited about the 24/7, and they get excited about the day and night aspect of the time frontier, of missions, of giving themselves to this radical lifestyle of day and night, of 24/7. And a lot of people feel like that is the most important goal. And they get disappointed when it's not as easy, it doesn't come as quickly, and there's a lot of obstacles to even getting to that point. But one thing that I would say, and I think a lot of other people within the prayer movement would encourage as well, is that 24/7 isn't necessarily the most important goal. Day and night is definitely an important goal, and in the entire prayer movement agrees that we want to see it in every language and in every geographic location. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every single ministry or every single individual is called to do a 24/7 prayer and worship mixed together. So when individuals get really excited with this message, they'll like to go back to their churches and tell their pastors, we're doing it all wrong. We got to do day and night prayer and worship. And that's not exactly the case. What I would more encourage other people is, first of all, live a lifestyle of prayer and worship. If you are excited about day and night and you're excited about 24/7, it only is sustainable and it starts and begins and then sustains from a personal heart connection with the Lord. And certainly that's in the secret place as well as just personal gathering with other individuals and having a corporate prayer just that you are actively involved in and consistent. And we've talked a lot about in other podcasts and how to develop that in that personal relationship with the Lord through prayer and worship. And I definitely think that that is one of the most important things that will sustain and launch day and night prayer for people. As well, there's in many cities today, I was going to say almost everyone, but in almost every the large cities is probably more accurate, there is some kind of capacity of ministries that are focused on day and night prayer or 24/7. And most of them, there's 10,000 plus houses of prayer around the world that go 24/7, and there's many more that are not going 24/7 but have that same that desire and that heart to to see the day and night frontier, the time frontier taken care of and established. And so my recommendation would definitely be to first establish just a heart connection with the Lord. Just pray on your own. Pray with other people that gather other people to pray, but then look in around your city or around other areas that you are involved with and see what they have to offer. There's probably a house of prayer. You can do a quick Google search. Or there's IHOP Network that has a lot of houses of prayer throughout America and in Europe as well. And so I would just look for some of those ministries and get established with their prayer meetings that they're doing and see what they have to offer and what they're doing and how you can be a part of that and how you can strengthen their prayer meetings. And I can guarantee you that all of the houses of prayer around the world would gladly welcome anyone who wants to strengthen them and join them, even from the biggest ones to the average ones, which are a lot smaller. And so I would definitely encourage you to get involved in those aspects as well.
When I was just sharing with Hannah earlier today that in the Virgin Islands, the goal for the Caribbean is to have a house of prayer that's 24/7, but the islands themselves don't have a huge population, and in that population, not a large Christian population. So what they're wanting to do in with the Virgin Islands is just have one island that hosts prayer for maybe 4 hours, and then another island takes over the next 4 hours, so that collectively in their region, they are sustaining a house of prayer that's 24/7, but not every island is doing the work on their own. So it's more sustainable that way.
I think one of the interesting things that we're starting to see on the earth is many ministries coming together to do 24/7 prayer in a region. Similar to what the Caribbean is doing. And I definitely think that is so the Lord, uniting believers and allowing for the time frontier to go forth in day and night prayer. So this month on Reviews by Drew, our favorite segment, we will be covering a new resource called Growing as a Prophetic Singer. And it's written by Anna Blanc. And Anna Blanc is a worship leader at IHOP in Kansas City. And she's written this book as a resource to help singers to strengthen them in their calling, to encourage them to go deep in the Word, as well as just growing in the prophetic realm as well and hearing the voice of God and then declaring that over a congregation. And I know there's many singers throughout the entire body of Christ, and not all of them are involved in a house of prayer, although they can definitely come join ours if they'd like. But for singers, even in local churches, worship leaders in other settings, missionaries in other countries even, I think this book can help strengthen them in looking at what is the role of a singer and how do they grow in connecting with the Lord, how do they grow in connecting with His Word, and how can they just strengthen that personal calling and some practical steps as well as some practical pitfalls that singers often face in the areas of pride or humility or letdowns and discouragement. And so some of the areas where where singers often are prey to. So this book is really helpful, and I would really encourage. It's a short read, and it's really easy. So even singers who hate reading, you can read this book. So Growing as a Prophetic Singer by Anna Block. So we've talked a little bit about the time frontier, and one of the things about the time frontier is getting day and night prayer established in every geographic region of the earth. And what one of the ministries that we're involved, that we pray for and that we're connected to, YWAM, they have established the broken down the earth into 4,000 quadrants, which they call omega zones. And these omega zones are different geographic regions on the earth, and they've broken them down into smaller categories in order, based on their population, on their spiritual needs, on the number of Christian workers in the, that location, and some other factors, in order to make the world easier to reach the people groups that are that are on the world. And so certainly the geographic region or the geographic frontier has a big play in what we typically think of as missions, in spreading the gospel, in evangelism, in preaching the word. But it also has the flip side of that. It's also connected in that geographic frontier and having day and night prayer established in every omega zone on the earth. So for instance, to give you a little bit more example, the United States is broken down into omega zones, and many of the omega zones are simply the states that were already broken down into. Some of the bigger states, which with much bigger populations like California and New York, are broken down into further smaller omega zones in order to be able to reach the specific populations within that region, even of New York or that region of California. For instance, Nebraska is an omega zone, and many of the Midwest states are omega zones. And so the idea is for the gospel to be preached to every person in Nebraska, and for day and night prayer to be established in Nebraska as well.
And part of the omega zones also, especially in third world countries or developing nations, is to go to actually take care of physical needs as well. Like, so building, you know, building homes, digging wells, so that not only are we caring for their spiritual needs, but also serving them at that place of, of life.
Exactly.
Another ministry that I was just looking it up, and I didn't realize how long they've been around, is Every Home for Christ. And they have been around since 1946. And what they have done, and when I originally had heard of them many years ago, they had taken the United States and really laid it like a grid and kind of did the same kind of thing as YWAM, finding these zones and doing block by block to see how many people could be evangelized in our nation, that every person would hear the gospel, every person would be prayed for, or homes prayed for, and now they've gone, like, global. So it's around the world. And their mission is Every Home for Christ exists to serve the church to reach every home on earth with the gospel. They started in 1946. Up to the year 2015, they have reached 1.9 billion people. Homes have been reached with the gospel. 174 million people have responded to the gospel, and they have planted small groups or like home churches in almost 300,000 of those exist. So their goal is prayer, of course, evangelism, and then discipleship. Not enough just to share Christ. We have to disciple them to know Jesus and to grow in love with him. So there are, I mean, there are many, and of course you've been involved in missions with Avant Mission Mission Group, and there are so many. My daughter's father-in-law runs a missionary organization, Surge. So God is, he's really highlighting that missions united with prayer, again, that we see really exponential growth, I think, in my lifetime at least.
Well, I think in with the three frontiers, you know, we hear that, and but then again, they're not separate.
Right,
just
right,
like
right.
Comparative emissions is not separate. The three frontiers are not separate. Here in the States, we see it a little less mm-hmm. with the literal language barriers. But so say where I was at in Mali, in West Africa, in the city I lived in, there were every day, and just you walking down the streets, you would hear at least 10 different languages.
And those would be tribal languages. Yeah.
And so, I mean, you have the main ones that I spoke, French and Bambara, but, well, I attempted to speak, let's just be real, on this podcast. And so, but just the idea of, I'm just, as I'm sitting here listening, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, to have a house of prayer that's going 24/7 in the city of Bamako, where I lived, I'm just thinking, literally a 24-hour time span, you could have a 2-hour in every single different language.
Oh, yeah.
Just in Mali, that just is represented in that country, which then would kind of overlap into the surrounding countries because as immigration coming in and out of the countries, you have the different languages and the different tribal languages that are around. Hmm. I'm just thinking what that would look like. I'm like, wow, that's revelation right there.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
All the different peoples of the earth worshiping the Lord and praying, and what the prayer, the issues that could be torn down.
Yeah, right.
With establishing night and day prayer in every Omega Zone. I just think of the different, the clashing of people groups, the clashing of even languages, and just the different things that are going on in the developing world. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to think of night and day prayer going forth across the earth. It's amazing to think about. And, oh my, sorry, I'm excited all of a sudden.
Well, and while you were talking, here's what I'm starting to think about the refugees. Crazy. That have had to flee. Mm-hmm. So now they've gone to the more developed nations. Yeah. I was just reading an article, actually, on Yahoo News page yesterday about the numbers of Muslim people who are converting to Christianity as they're coming into Germany, as they're coming into Belgium, as they're coming into these nations that are saying, yes, come. Christians are meeting them. Mm-hmm. Christians are praying for them. They're meeting their physical needs.
Yeah.
And so even where the Lord, where there's this just been kind of an upheaval, God is on the move.
Yeah.
So the Omega Zone, even for what their nation would be, has kind of shifted. And God's meeting them.
Yeah.
And people are getting saved in other nations that aren't even their home.
But even that, their Omega Zone wouldn't change in the physical sense, yes. But,
but
imagine
these
ones, like the Syrian refugees who are coming to know Jesus, they get on their knees and they're praying for their region, for Syria, for the Middle East, for God to break in those nations, and what can shift when they're praying for their homeland.
Right.
And what they can do when they go back.
Yes.
You know, eventually.
Right, eventually.
You know,
right.
As we desire for them to go back to their country and establish night-and-day prayer. You know? It's just how it really is all connected. But then again, nothing is separate from prayer.
Yes, right. I feel like that's this has just really solidified that even more and more in my heart as we're just talking about it and listening to the wisdom that Drew has in this, that there is such a connection between prayer. And I think last time you were sharing too, that when people pray for even a language to come forth, to have the Bible written in that language, that it happens so much more quickly than those who are just laboring without this extensive prayer to spur that along.
Yeah, I think one of the things that hopefully you can take away from this podcast and the last one as well is that prayer and missions are so connected because prayer is, first of all, the end result of missions.
Yeah. Yes.
When right. the world is fully evangelized and everyone serves Jesus, the end result is worship and prayer. Right. That's what everyone will do.
Right.
But also, it's the means to get to that point.
Yeah.
That when we are praying for missions to go forth, it's so much more effective. The justice issues are so much more effective. Mm-hmm. The evangelism is so much more effective. The translation projects are so much more effective. The taking care of the spiritual and physical needs of the people is more effective when it's tied to, when it's bathed in prayer.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good.
Even just with the dedication ceremony that I shared on Facebook, that Bible translation took 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was because of issues, because of war that came to the country, because of learning, the translators having to learn the language and then learning how to culturally work with the people, the people group, the tribal, and then to actually be able to translate it properly, because you're not translating it from English or French in that situation, but to really have it make sense and how culturally they deal with that word.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so in-depth and it's so intricate, and so imagine that, you know, we are bathing these 2,000 plus languages in prayer of translation, and how much quicker it would happen. I can only imagine how much more effective that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then just even caring for people in general.
Right.
I mean, when you have the Lord's heart for a people group or for a need, He gives us the wisdom and understanding that we need to care for those needs much better than what we have in our own natural understanding. Because there's a book that I love in missions. It's called When Helping Hurts. It's actually a U.S.-based one, but it can be... I read it specifically for overseas missions. But just the reality of understanding that... when we bring our own thoughts and our own cultural understanding into another culture, it doesn't work always.
Yeah.
You can't just assume one culture is going to overlap into the other. And that's the same with language and the same with the aspect of night and day prayer also. Just what that looks like. It looks different. And it's going to look different in America than it is going to look different in, say, you know, Malawi in the south of Africa. Like, it's gonna look a little different. But how cool that is, too.
Yes, yes. All expressions of God's heart.
Right? Yes.
It's good.
So as we're talking about this, and your heart is hopefully getting stirred to become more involved in prayer and missions, we just want to encourage you to start locally, to serve the people that you're around, to serve your local church, to serve local believers and local unbelievers. And serve their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs, and giving your time and your resources and your finances to your own city, as well as developing that personal life with prayer with the Lord, and getting That's involved in ministries that are seeking day and night prayer in your region. And so a lot of people get excited about missions and want the Lord to send them somewhere. And certainly we are all about that as well. But take a season and serve where you're at, and the Lord will bless that season, and he'll promote you to serving in the nations as well.
That's good. That's good. That's a good word.
Yes. So as we wrap up this month's podcast on prayer and missions, as we've been talking, the end result truly is to have night and day prayer in every language, in every geographical location, and how that really can stir our hearts, and our hearts can come alive as we're partnering with the Lord in that. So we hope that you gain some wisdom and missions and prayer, and how you can have some practical steps to start that. We will have all the resources that we've shared on this month's podcast on the Facebook page and on our website.